This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind the poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 8.
By and by. Under the shelter of my roof, hours bleed into days. Days blend into months and months blur into years. We ease into the simple monotony, by and by. This home was the nest in which my loving parents raised their three little chicks, Princess, Blue Jay, Chickadee. One day each will set out on their own, by and by. The wind snarls as it rushes past, snatching the raindrops that cling to the eaves, unable to blow down this house of bricks. Inside, I nestle in a cocoon of blankets, where I will fall asleep with an open book in hand, by and by. Regardless of the day I've had, of what lies I've heard and said, the worn key in my hand still promises a safe haven to which I always return, by and by. I've spent innumerable hours staring up, not towards the renowned stars or the dazzling night sky, but at the smooth ridges of the stucco roof, wishing for dreams I dare not say aloud, pondering the future that will come, by and by. By and by, time will take its toll, chicks will grow too big, and storms will come and go. But here the girl's whispered wishes will stay in the grooves of this bedroom ceiling under the shelter of my roof.
Awesome. So your title is By and By, which is also like a repeated phrase throughout. And it reminds me of E.E. Cummings.
Oh, actually, yeah. I don't know where I came up with that title. I think I came up with the title before I came up with like the actual poem, I think. I was trying to write a story and I just came up with By and By, but then the book ended up having nothing to do with By and By.
So have you read any E.E. Cummings poems?
Probably. I just don't remember it's by. I don't remember like who poems are by. So
are there any poets who you like or get inspiration from?
There's this one guy, he wrote the Three Magi's one, the one about the wife and the husband. I really love that poem. Like, the wife who cut her hair and the husband who sold his watch by Christmas gifts. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard of that one. And so he sells his watch to get something for her and she cuts her hair to get something for him, right?
Yeah.
That's a really cool poem, too. So your first stanza, hours bleed into days, days blend into months, and months blur into years. That seems pretty fitting for what we're going through right now.
Yeah, I think I wrote this right when the virus started and it was raining and I had nothing to do. So, yeah, I was bored.
What have you been doing during quarantine?
I mostly stay in my bed all day. I mean, I'm trying to do homework, but I just have no motivation to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, stay in my bed, watch YouTube, Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I've been watching a lot of YouTube and online shopping. And I started learning Korean, though, learning a new language. So I'm really proud of myself for doing that.
I really wish my school offered Korean. That would have been a language I would have been interested in learning.
Yeah, I'm already learning French for school, so it's fun to have two completely different languages going on.
Yeah, very different. Mm-hmm. I'm learning Spanish in school, and then I go to Chinese school every Sunday. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've learned a little bit of Hebrew, too, but not that much. I can just recognize the letters, and that's pretty much it.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know any Hebrew, so.
I really like the stanza that's regardless of the day I've had, of what lies I've heard and said, the worn key in my hand still promises a safe haven to which I always return by and by. I really like the stanza because it reminds me of just being completely comfortable at home. And no matter what happens during your day, you can always come to your home and just feel comfortable and you and like completely chill.
Yeah. I actually had a really hard time with the line, regardless of what lies I've heard and said, because mm-hmm. what I was trying to convey is like your home welcomes you no matter what happens, but then like it's a place that you can retreat to. So I was trying to say both things at once. So yeah, I ended up with that.
Yeah, I'm thinking that home isn't like a physical place necessarily. Like when I say you can go home and be comfortable, that doesn't mean a physical building, because home can be like watching a movie on Netflix or traveling in an RV or going to Goodwill and going thrifting.
Yeah. Like
home is just where you feel comfortable and happy and like yourself.
When I was writing it, I didn't think about it that way. Like, I agree with everything you're saying,
yeah.
But I was thinking more of being in my house, I guess, than actually, like, the idea of home, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that there's a broad definition of home, and it's not just, like, this place, but there is a good feeling of when you come into your actual home and, like, you can sleep in your bed when you've been gone for a while.
Yeah.
I went on a trip to Florida for a week and a half last summer, and I came back, and my dog was so mad at me. He wouldn't even look at me. I was like, "Hi, Paul, I missed you so much." And he just turned away, and he wouldn't look at me for, like, 3 days.
Oh, my gosh, that's so cute, though.
Yeah, he's a tiny little Maltipoo, and he's got a big personality, though.
Oh, I want a dog, but, yeah, my parents don't think we can handle having a pet. And we have a pool in the backyard, so probably wouldn't be the safest.
I've had my dog for almost 10 years now, and we got him when he was a puppy. And when I was 4, I started talking to my dad, and I started to convince him to get me a puppy. And I would talk to him and be like, okay, this is why we need a puppy, because it's cute and I love you and I really want a puppy and I love you so much. And that was my reasoning for it. And then 2 years later, we actually got one. So that just goes to show, with some persistence, you can get a puppy. So what would you say is your overall inspiration for the poem?
I think first of all, it was the prompt. Yeah, I started with the prompt, and then since I was sitting inside, it just, like, flowed from there, I suppose. It's interesting, because I don't usually write from prompts at all. I usually, like, write the poem and then find the prompt that fits.
What was the prompt from? Was it from Young Writers Project?
Oh, yeah. I think it was Shelter. Yeah, they had me start with the line, "Under the shelter of my roof." Oh, yeah, and the challenge was...
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So you don't usually use prompts, but do you think that they're helpful when you do use them? Because in the podcast before, we've talked about how it's difficult to.
So most of the times when I write to prompts, like, I'll read a bunch of prompts, like, at the beginning of the day, and then I'll go through the day, like, turning them over in my head while I'm doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I write most of my prompts at night at the end of the day where I can, like, reflect, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Are there some that you think have helped you more than others? Because I think that specific prompts help me, whereas some that are just, like, write about something using one of your senses. It's just kind of vague.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I feel like the specific ones are really limiting, because then I feel like it almost... like, it tells me what my poem is supposed to be about. And then, yeah, I get stuck after, like, a stanza or two. So, yeah.
What prompts do you think you would give to someone else to help them write?
One thing that I did was really interesting. I turned off all the lights at night, and I was just looking out my window, and you, like, write a bunch of words on your notebook. And since you can't really see, like, where you're writing, you end up with this whole jumble of words. And then, like, yeah, and then write a poem about that. That's interesting.
Oh, that's really cool. I've done that before, but usually just when I have an idea and then I turn off my light. Yeah, that's really cool. I think that it's cool also to have, like, a visual prompt like that, where you look at a painting or just a scribble on paper and then you write something about it. Because it's cool to see how your brain can connect that to, like, a series of words.
Yeah.
I sometimes get ideas when I'm about to fall asleep, And so I don't want to turn the light back on because then that would make me like more awake. So then I have to reach over and try to like write it on some paper or on my nightstand, which isn't very good, or sometimes on my hand, but then it like washes off the next day. Okay. So it's not that helpful, but I usually get ideas just at weird times and it's not very helpful.
I have a stack of receipts on my desk, actually, because when I was younger, I thought it was so poetic to, like, write on the back of receipts.
Really? Yeah. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, so I have a whole stack of receipts.
So how did you first get into poetry or writing in general?
It was actually fairly recently. I started loving books, like, from a very young age. And then when I got to middle school, I think it was 8th grade, I started writing, like, short stories and stuff. And then poetry actually started, like, just this year, like, in 2020, when my English teacher assigned a poem. Like, you have to write a Valentine ode to whatever classmate you're assigned. That way everyone gets a Valentine.
So, oh.
Yeah, I think poem writing started then, yeah. If I had to pinpoint one place.
What was your Valentine's poem about?
I didn't know this person very well. Like, I had never talked to her at all. So I kind of talked to my friends. And it was a really, really cheesy poem. And at the time, I thought, like, my idea of a poem was that it had to, like, rhyme. So I kind of forced the poem to rhyme. So it definitely wasn't one of my best poems, but it was like a whole string of compliments.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Do you usually not rhyme now with your poetry?
Since Young Writers Project, like, I read a bunch of other poems that didn't rhyme. I was like, oh, I can do that. And then, yeah, so now my poems, they don't rhyme at all. Which, well, sometimes it will, like, coincidentally, I'll be like, oh, I'm so proud of myself, it rhymes. But yeah, if it does rhyme, it's coincidence.
Yeah. How did you discover Young Writers Project?
It started when I was trying to write a book on NaNoWriMo. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Still working.
And that was, like, from the Young Writers Project. So then, yeah, from there, I looked up, like, what the heck is the Young Writers Project?
So how has YWP helped or influenced your writing?
It makes me write a lot more, which is good because I have a ton of time now.
Yeah.
So I spent kind of, it sounds so cliche, but it was kind of fate. I found it now because before I didn't write at all, especially after 9th grade. I had a really hard English teacher. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I lost my faith in my ability to write something good because I was getting like really bad grades on my essays. I was like, I suck as a writer. I don't want to do this. And then this year, I had a really great teacher. She made me write more, but then Young Writers Project has made me write even more, I suppose. And I think more like a poet more often now than I do like thinking about nothing. So
that's really awesome. I think that it definitely helps to have a good teacher or mentor to sort of like guide you along.
The funny thing is I don't talk to my teachers that much. I'm pretty shy when it comes to talking to her. So she probably doesn't even know how much she helped me, but
yeah, I have teachers. I'm homeschooled. I have 4 teachers right now because I finished my English class and they're pretty cool. But some people think it's weird, though, because I say I'm homeschooled, and they're like, oh, so do your parents just give you grades? And I'm like, no, I have actual teachers. They're like, oh, really? Like, do they live across the world? And I'm like, no, they live kind of close to me, actually. We talk all the time.
I mean, now with, at first, like, when I was, I've been, like, in public school my whole life.
Yeah.
But my idea of homeschooling was, like, you kind of decide your own schedule. Like, it's pretty easy and now I think it's pretty hard because I mean we're kind of homeschooling ourselves, like our teachers give us the stress and plans and stuff, but you're probably used to it because, like, you've been doing this.
Yeah,
the whole time.
It's funny to me because I've heard a lot of people complaining about it, and they're like, oh my God, I can't do this. And it's like, well, I do it all the time. And what's really weird, especially to me now, well, it's kind of funny actually, not just weird, is that before people would sort of make fun of me for being homeschooled, like, oh, you don't learn anything, or you're just in your pajamas all day, or I would kill myself before being homeschooled. Like, someone actually said that once. I was like, whoa. And now they're, like, basically being homeschooled. So it's like, well, the tables have turned. Yeah.
I mean, but, it's a lot of discipline, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before, I used to just work on whatever I wanted, and I'd let a project go on for weeks if I wanted it to. But now that I'm in high school and I have sort of deadlines, I try to keep myself on track, but there are some days where I just don't do that much.
Yeah, it's definitely a plus, like, staying in my pajamas all day.
Yeah. I try to think of it not as, like, how productive am I being every single day, but, like, what information am I sort of taking in this wide expanse of time.
Grand scheme of things.
Yeah. That makes it more helpful than just like, oh, I only did one assignment today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so back to poetry. Do other people think it's weird that you write, or do they think like, oh my gosh, it's so cool?
Since it started fairly recently, mm-hmm. They've always thought of me as a writer because I'm the person who, like, edits all their essays and stuff. I think my parents, they don't think of me as a poet because I don't feel comfortable sharing my poetry with them just yet. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, some of it's about them, and I feel weird. It's like, oh, yeah, that's about me, and that's about you.
Do you think you ever would share your poetry with them?
I hope I do get to that point eventually, mm-hmm. because, I mean, I do want to share that with them. Like, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I think that the general response to me saying that I write poetry, when I do say it, because it doesn't often occur to me that I write poetry, it's just, like, a part of who I am. It's not like, I have brown hair. Like, I write poetry. But when I do mention it, people are like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Like, yeah. It's just who I am.
I think my school revolves mostly, like, it's a very competitive school, mm-hmm. and it revolves mostly around, like, science and math, STEM mm-hmm. stuff. And when you say poetry, people are like, oh, you're good at rhyming stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, no, that's not what it's about, really. But
do people ever, like, have you make up stuff on the spot? Like, oh, write a poem now.
No, I haven't had that yet, but I have, like, I wrote birthday poems for some of my friends, and, like, they actually end up pretty good because they're kind of funny and they have, like, inside jokes hidden inside them.
Oh, that's so cool.
But I don't think I can make some up on the spot because, yeah, my brain's kind of slow and I often say stuff I don't mean to say, and then, yeah.
Yeah, I, like, as soon as someone puts me on the spot, like, write a poem right now or come up with something amazing right now. I'm like, oh, my brain just like, stops working.
Under pressure, the pressure gets to my head.
Yeah. Or like, you know when you've thought about meeting someone important for a long time and then you finally meet them and then your mind just goes completely blank. It's like, And after you're like, why did I say this? Why did I say that? But like, it totally didn't even come into your mind to do that.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Chinese dramas, and so I've often imagined, like, meeting them in real life.
Yeah.
Like, I have a bunch of questions now, but I know when I go up to them, I'll be like, ah!
Yeah. So, there's this author, Sarah Dessen, and I went to one of her... Do you know her books?
Yeah, I've read, like, all of them.
And I own, like, all of them, too. I love them so much. And I went to one of her book signings in Connecticut, which is, like, 5 hours from where I live in Vermont. And we went there, and I met her, and it was, like, my turn to get my book signed, and I was like, hi, and my voice went up so high, and I just, like, completely lost what I was going to say, and I was like, I'm a writer, too, and I really like your books, thank you so much for, like, signing my book, and it was so weird, and now I wish that I had, like, talked more when I had the chance, but it was still kind of cool.
Her books, I kind of like I'm kind of embarrassed to like recommend them to my friends because they're
Yeah.
all like those romances that
Yeah.
are like cheesy, like the covers. But yeah, they're so good. I'm addicted. Her and Kacey West,
Oh
pretty
yes.
good.
And who's the other one? There's one other author who's similar. What book did she write? It's called Second Chance Summer.
Oh, I have read
Morgan.
that.
Yeah.
Wait.
Morgan someone? I can't remember it now. Morgan Mattson. That's her name, I
Oh,
think.
yeah.
Yeah. That's her.
Probably. That sounds right.
Yeah, her books are so good. And I would say her books definitely remind me of home because when you read it, you just feel so happy and it's so like just good vibes and like
Yeah.
completely happy. And it's not like, you know, some books you read it and you're just like, well, that's a book I just read. But the Sarah Dessen books, I feel like you get something out of it and you're like, that's really cool to think about. Or that was a beautiful love story.
I usually end up reading them really quick. Like, I'll find one, and then I'll find the online copy on some legal website and the whole thing in like a day, and then I have to reread it like a few weeks later because I was like, "What's that about again?" I sort of remember the end, but
Are there any other books who, or authors that you like?
I kind of like. I'm a person. My brother likes to say I like every single book.
Yeah.
I'll be like, "Oh my gosh, this book is so good!" And then a week later, like, "This book's the best in the world!" And then I'll say, "Yeah," a month later. So, my favorites right now are actually like the shorter ones that I can read like little quotes from. Let me see, what do I have for
Have you read
books?
any Agatha Christie books?
I think I own one. I haven't gotten to reading it yet. I have a whole stack of books like behind the library. They have a bunch of free books people donate.
Oh,
And
awesome.
yeah, I take whatever looks interesting, but then I don't get to reading it for a while. So,
Yeah, Agatha
yeah.
Christie books are so good. And what I really like about them is they're mysteries and all involve a murder, pretty much. And what's so cool is that you think this is going to happen and you're convinced that this person is a murderer and there's no way it can be someone else, and then it's someone else. And it's so cool how you're just like stumped every single time.
I've only read one mystery so far. I think it was Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah, I stole it from, it was like really battered, and I stole it from my science teacher's like shelf for like the entire year until.
Yeah, that's an Agatha Christie too, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and they made it into a movie last year with Johnny Depp and
Oh,
the
I
other
did
people.
see that, yeah.
It's really good, actually. I thought the movie was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't completely true to some parts of the book, but I still thought it was good.
Yeah, when I read the, I have a hard thought, like a hard time reading the book and then watching the movie.
Me
Like
too.
I read the Harry Potter books and then, oh wait, I listen, you haven't read them, right?
Harry Potter? No, I have not. Okay.
Yeah, so I won't spoil any. Well, yeah,
Oh,
people have probably already spoiled them for you,
yeah. Well,
right?
the only part, because I watched 5 minutes of the first movie, the only part I'm convinced about is that the girl and Ron are going to end up together. They've got the hots for each other. I know it. They're gonna end up together.
You would be right. Yeah, so we watched movies for like a little bit in Korea because that was like the only English show on like Korean TV. And I just kept pointing out all the differences with the book. I was like, that's not right.
Yeah, I know when I watch book to movie adaptations, I want to have the book next to me and be like, nope, her dress is purple, it's blue in the book. You got that wrong. Have you read any John Green books?
Yeah, I have, but I haven't read like the big one, The Fault in Our Stars. I
Oh my
haven't gotten.
gosh, you have to. That's like Harry Potter to me. It is so good, and I refuse to watch the movie because I love that book so much. I cry it pretty much every single time I read it, and I've read it like 17 times probably now. But
Wow.
watch the movie, it's so good. It's fantastic.
I've read like a few of his other ones that I've like really loved, like An Abundance of Catherines. I
Yeah,
think that
that
was
one's
my
really cool.
that one was funny. I
Yeah.
think I read it like 3 times, and then I returned to my friend who recommended it. And then I read The one about Ava. I think Turtles All the Way Down.
Yeah, it that's his most recent.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't my favorite, but I still think that his books are pretty good. So, speaking of books, do you ever write short stories or novels or anything other than poetry?
I have one short story that I wrote in eighth grade that I am, like, super, super, like, duper proud of.
What's it about?
It's kind of, my teachers called it a murder thriller, but it's basically, it sounds like she's talking about, like, she hates another girl, and then at the end, it's revealed that, like, it's herself.
Oh! It's pretty dark. Wow, that sounds really cool. I've written some short stories for school, and I started some, but I feel like I always get stuck, and then I get to a point where I'm like, I'm going to write so much about it, and this is going to be like 200 pages long, it's going to be a novel, I'm going to get it published, and then the next day I'm like, I don't like it anymore.
Yeah, I have so many, like, I have a whole folder in my school account of, like, beginnings of stories.
Yeah, I feel like in the beginning I go ham, and I'm like, this is a childhood trauma memory of the character, and this is some other character flaw, and I, like, really develop it, but then the next day I just feel like I'm not as interested in it. It's sort of like buyer's regret, I guess.
I have a really hard time writing, well, first of all, third person, I don't know why, it's just I find it hard to, like, I want to connect with the reader, but I don't know how to express emotion through third person.
Yeah,
that, and I have a hard time with motivation, because I'll be like, this person does this, but why do they do that?
Yeah, sometimes what I do is, if I'm writing a short story or something, then I'll literally just sit down and think about what this person did, and like, okay, why are they going to do this? Are they hungry? Are they sad? Do they want something out of it? Or blah, 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 blah. And then coming up with a whole list of, like, motives or reasons for them doing it kind of helps, and then you can pick out the best ones.
Yeah, I'll give that a try.
So first, do you ever do, like, journaling or writing in a diary or something?
Oh yeah, I've kept a diary since, like, about fifth grade, because do have, like, a really terrible memory, like, really. So I was like, what if I, like, look back and I want to remember this sort of stuff? So, yeah, that's why I started keeping a diary. And then, yeah, mine's almost full right now, so I have to move to a new one.
That's pretty cool. I do a little bit of journaling, too, mostly just when I remember to, because I've had the same one for about 3 years now, and there's probably only, like, 8 entries in it. It's just, like, every few months when I get, like, really ticked off at something, or I'm really happy about something, and then I want to write about it. But I find that when I'm journaling, and I don't know if this happens to you or not, but I find that I end up writing something really poetically, and I add a bunch of metaphors, and I try to make it really pretty, and then I'm like, wait, no one's gonna see this except for me. It's literally just about, like, a writing contest I'm gonna, like, submit something to.
I think I did that a lot in the beginning. Like, I look back on my fifth grade stuff, and I was like, why am I so dramatic here? Like, it's not such a big deal. So I think I've kind of grown out of that. Like, I think of it as talking with, like, having a conversation with my future self, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, have you done that before, like, writing letters to your future self?
I think that's kind of what every diary entry I write is, mm-hmm. like, about now. Like, what's going on? Like, what is the kind of stuff I want to remember? What makes me, like, really excited right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just in case.
I just made a time capsule for school, actually. It was my final project for English, which was really fun. And I put one of my old notebooks in there, which I thought would be really cool because it's got a bunch of poems in it. And it'll be cool to see, like, what I wrote then. And I also wrote a letter to my future self. But I found that it was a little bit weird, because I was coming up with, like, this list of questions to ask my future self, like, what are you doing now? But I feel like it's just kind of weird to ask myself that, because some of them are a little redundant, like, what kind of food do you like now? It's like, well, it's probably going to be the same. I don't think it's going to change that much.
Yeah, in the beginning of my like when I was keeping diaries, I did all about me's, and then I stopped because I realized my all about me's like over the years are all the same stuff.
I did that a lot too when I was younger. It was like my favorite color and my favorite movie and stuff.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's the problem I have with journaling and also with essays and stuff, is that whenever I'm writing something that isn't poetry or like a short story novel, when it isn't creative writing, I end up adding a bunch of metaphors in even when I don't want to. And so when I write essays, I'm too abstract with it and I'm not like sticking to the main idea.
Yeah, essays, I don't know, like I have a hard time writing essays just because it's so different from poetry. Yeah. I mean, poetry is so creative, and then the essays are like very structured and like basically you're just like proving a point.
Yeah, that's another thing that I struggle with math. Are you good at math? Because I feel like almost all of the writers I've met are not good at math.
I mean, I think I'm decent at math, but it's my least favorite subject. I hate.
Yeah, I know, because it's like not creative at all. And I did geometry last year, and I had to do proofs. And that's literally, they give you an equation, and you have to prove that it's right. And it's so like just completely mind-numbing, because it's like, this is right because of theorem 48. This is right because of theorem 42. And it's just so boring to me. But I mean, I'm not horrible at math, but I really don't enjoy it because there are so many things I'd rather be doing. I'd rather be writing than like writing out what X is and stuff.
I actually liked proofs a little bit more because, I mean, there's a bunch of proofs our teacher gave us. He's like, you can do this a bunch of ways. And then, so I would go and find like, which way can I do this? Like proofs, I felt like there was a little bit more freedom, but like algebra 2 now, like there's only one way to do stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm taking now. And my dad helps me with my math. I have an actual math teacher too, but my dad pretty much helps me with it and like checks my stuff to make sure I'm getting it right. And I was complaining once and I was like, I don't want to do this. It's so boring. I'm never going to use this in my life. I don't know why I have to find the square root of the square root of the third root or whatever. And he was like, well, this is the last math class you're going to have to take in high school. I was like, all right, fine. I'll just get through it somehow. And now we're talking about what classes I'm going to take this fall. And he's like, well, you're going to have to take a math class. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Did we not just say I have no more math class? So I'm hoping that if I do have to take one, it's going to be easy, but I have a feeling it's going to be trigonometry, and that's not going to be fun.
Yeah, I have a hard time remembering, like, what happened in, like, math stuff. Like, it just falls out after the year's over.
Yeah, I make up really weird analogies and stuff. Like, for scientific notation, when you make a big number smaller, the, like, power of the 10 gets bigger. Yeah, so I was remembering it as, this is what I'm still using now, actually. It's positive to deflate a big number's ego.
Whoa!
It's so weird, but somehow it's helping me. And so I keep saying this, that when I'm in like a college math class or any other math class with other people and I'm doing my homework, I'm going to be like, it's a positive thing to deflate a big number's ego. It's a positive thing to deflate a big number's ego. And everyone's going to think I'm crazy. Look at that girl, she's talking to herself. But I mean, if it helps me remember it, then it's good.
I feel like talking to yourself, like everyone kind of does it. Like, there'll be times in the hall where I have like conversations with myself and I'll make myself laugh and people are like, what?
Yeah, I talk to myself all the time.
Yeah, mostly it's about how weird I am. Like, why did I say that? So weird. And then I'll laugh at myself and I'll be like, yeah, not weird at all, people.
Yeah, or like I'll have a weird thought and then I'll say it out loud and be like, that's pretty funny.
I have this game with myself that I play. Like, when I have a weird thought, I'll be like, what if there's a mind reader in this room?
That's pretty funny. I do this thing and it happens literally every time, and it makes me laugh every time too. So you think that by now I wouldn't laugh about it, but anytime I look for something in like the fridge or pantry, and look to see if it expired, if it's like been expired or if it's about to expire, I think to myself, I wonder if it's died yet. Like, has it died yet? And for some reason, I can't think expired. I just think died. And like, then it makes me laugh a lot because I'm like, that's pretty funny, but no one heard it unless there's a mind reader.
Yeah, so I was like, if there's a mind reader, what are they thinking right now? How weird do they think I am?
So, back to writing. What do you think is the overall meaning that people should take away from your poem?
I think, like, take from it whatever you need. Like, it's kind of out of my hand what they take from it. I hope it's, yeah, I kind of write poetry for myself, which sounds kind of bad, but I mean, yeah, if it helps you, if you connect to it, that's great.
Yeah, I think that's what we've talked about in the podcast before, is that just using poetry as a way to get you through something, or just to express yourself, or just because you want to. And I don't think that has to have an end result, like, I'm writing this so that when people read it, they feel a certain way, you know?
I actually had a question for you.
Oh, yes. What is it?
A reference I made, like, an allusion. I don't know if it was, like, obvious. It was a part where, like, the wind. I was trying to make the wind seem like the big bad wolf and, like, the three
wolves. I know. I got that one at Starles. I was like, oh, that's really cool.
Oh, okay.
Because everyone always says howl. And, like, yes, that's what it sounds like. But it's a little becoming a cliche. So Starles, like, ooh. I think that word choice is definitely important in poetry, because if it's like something that people are reading and like they're looking at the words and they're probably reading it out loud, possibly, or listening to it, then each word sort of matters, and the word that you choose matters too on how, like, what they get from it.
Yeah, that's what I spend a lot of time doing. Like, I'll write a poem, and then I'll go back, like, several times over. I use a thesaurus a lot, and I'll, like, change out a bunch of words so that it says what I want it to say. And then, like, right there, I didn't want to say, oh, like, make a simile, like, the wind is like the wolf, because I felt like that was, like, telling the reader, and it was too obvious. So
I think the best advice for anyone who's writing is show and not tell.
Yeah.
Because then it just becomes, like, a whole new level of, like, wow, that's really cool and creative, and not just, like, oh, that's a cool comparison, you know?
Yeah. I kind of struggled with that, like, I think a few years ago, like, because, I mean, I knew show and not tell, like, my teachers have been doing that in my head. I mean, I think it's easier, a lot easier said than done.
Yeah.
It's like, don't boss your reader around.
Yeah. And I used to do this thing when I was first starting writing about, well, I've always been writing, but when I was, like, getting into poetry specifically, about, like, 4 years ago, I would write down a bunch of rhymes. So, like, above, dove, love, glove, and then I'd, like, somehow force it into a poem. But yeah. I feel like that doesn't always work, because that might not be the word that you want to describe it, or you might not want it to rhyme at all.
Yeah, I think that was the problem with a lot of my earlier poems that I used to write before. I would, like, try so hard to make it fit this one rhyme scheme.
Yeah.
In the end, it would kind of lose some of the, like, grit and emotion that I had wanted. Yeah.
Yeah, so now, sometimes my poetry rhymes, but usually it's just a coincidence. Or if it is, it's, like, a rare occasion. But I like just having the freedom to just write and not try to force myself to do anything. And I think that that's a common thing with me. Not that I'm, like, lazy, but as soon as someone forces me to do anything, I won't want to do it. And I was saying to my mom, actually, about quarantine, is that, like, if I choose to stay inside and never leave my house, that's great. I love it. I'm, like, I have my electric blanket, and I'm reading a book, or I'm watching something on YouTube, and that's fantastic. But as soon as someone tells me, do not leave your house, then I'm like, I gotta leave my house, I gotta leave my house. Like, it freaks me out. And then if I'm writing a poem, and I'm enjoying it, but then someone says, like, write a poem about this, then I'm not going to want to write at all. You know, do you get that?
It sounds kind of teenager.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, oh my gosh, you are such a teenage girl.
I did get that sometimes.
Yeah.
I want to do this just because you told me to do it.
Yeah, you're not the boss of me. But it's more just like, I like having the freedom to do what I want, but that's probably a side effect of being homeschooled, is that I'm so used to kind of just going with what I want to do that when I'm forced to do something, I don't like it. But I do like writing, and that's why I started the podcast, because I like writing, I like talking about writing.
I actually don't think, like, wanting the freedom to do anything you want to do is lazy at all, because, I mean, it's so much easier to conform to what they're saying, and just go with it. But, like, I mean, it takes, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but.
I get what you mean, though. So, have you listened to the other podcasts?
Yeah, I actually, after I contacted you, I listened to the first two podcasts in their entirety. I actually kind of shocked myself, because before I was kind of listening to beginning, I'll like skip parts, but they're really interesting. It's just that,
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun making them, and I think that we've had really awesome people, and it's been so much fun talking to you too. Sometimes I feel like when I'm talking to people about writing, I feel like we just go in circles, and it's like, yeah, I like writing because it's really fun. And they're like, yeah, I like writing because it's really fun. And then we just go back and forth, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, but all your podcasts so far, like, they've gone to, like, everywhere. Like, the Harry Potter one, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I wish I could chime in that conversation.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've been doing today, is that we just kind of go from weird topic to weird topic, but somehow it all comes back together. And I was talking to my dad, and he was like, so when you have big ideas, do you write down notes for it? Do you write down questions before? And I'm like, no, I wing it in the moment, and somehow it all comes together.
I was reading for a Girl Scout badge, like, it's called The Novelist, and one of them, like, you have to find interviews with authors, and John Green, he said something that I was like, yeah, that's exactly it. He's like, I don't have ideas, like, with a capital I, that fall down from, like, the ceiling and, like, lightning bolt. I have ideas with a lowercase I.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. This has been episode 8 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed, and stay tuned for episode 9. Bye!